Well, it's exciting to serve the Lord. I just had a scripture. I just got it when we were in the middle of worship, and I didn't want to interrupt the worship just to hear myself talk. If I can just find it. It was in Habakkuk. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Well, I lost it, but it's somewhere in there, trust me. And he talks about that the glory of the Lord was going to fill the earth just at the waters, as the waters cover the sea. You know, in that particular scripture, if you look at it and find it, it is in between certain bad declarations, but that's a good one. And so what I felt of the Lord is, the earth is being filled at this point with the glory of the Lord, whether people want to receive it or not. And so I feel very strongly that we are getting this era of the church. We're wrapping it up. God is wrapping it up. And I think he wants us to stay awake. You know, the more we progress in our technology, the more distracted we can get. And it gets to a point that we cannot stay focused for 15, 20 minutes without us having a craving for some more input from somewhere else. And we can very quickly miss the glory of the Lord that is surrounding us. You know, technology allows a lot of good things. I'm not speaking against technology. I love technology. But it can have so much, and we can get so distracted. The problem is not technology, it's our craving for stuff. So, stay focused on the things that are happening. Israel's going through a hard time right now. That's the fig tree. We have to be watching, because the end will be marked by some key events that could happen at any moment. And, you know, those of us that are sort of pre-tribulation rapture, you know, we want to be finding ourselves busy when the Lord comes back. We don't want to be idle. And the Lord finds us idle here. We want to be about our Father's business. Well, three Sundays ago, we started looking at the subject of warfare. And, you know, over a couple of months ago, the Lord just drop into my spirit the subject of spiritual warfare. And I knew that there had to be a teaching on it, but also there had to be a lab time. And so 3 weeks ago, we started looking at the book of Ephesians and the way the book of Ephesians is arranged. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit, talked about the creation of man, the innocence of man, the fall of man. He declared the devastating consequence of Adam and Eve's sin that affected all of creation, and we look at that in some detail. And then we saw the great love of God sending Jesus sending him to die in our place and then raising him up from the dead. And God declared that all who would receive Jesus as their Savior, they would become part of the body of Christ. And then, as we read more into the book of Ephesians, we now are seated with Jesus with the authority to overcome all the power of the devil and all of his demons. We saw that Jesus is the head of the body of Christ. We are the body. And we talked about the head not doing fight. The head does not do the fighting. It is the body that does the fighting. Even though there's some headbutting that can happen. But see, the head is called to bring the strategy for the body to act. We are the body. We are the ones that engage the enemy. Jesus has already triumphed over him. He already showed him and dishonor him publicly, stripped him of all whatever authority he had. So we see that the book of Ephesians elaborate on each part of this subject of spiritual warfare. Really, the whole epistle leads towards spiritual warfare and how to do it effectively. The book ends with guidance for spiritual warfare. So the first Sunday we talked about our position in Christ. Then 2 Sundays ago, we looked at the daily warfare that occurs within each one of us. We saw that our souls decide whether to listen to our spirit man or to our carnal nature. And we saw that if our soul chooses to follow the Spirit of God, where the life of God dwells, we will have resulting life, abundant life. But if our souls side with the flesh, then we are actually siding with sin, and we will reap death, some form of death, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, socially. Something in our interactions would die. So the Christian life asks us two important things for us to do. First, we saw that we're called to renew our minds through the Word of God, the Bible. God's ways, they're not natural to us. We're not born with God's ways necessarily. In fact, we're born enemies of God. We have to be transformed in our thinking to even understand God's ways. And then, not only do we need to renew our minds, but we are called to submit our bodies as a sacrifice to please the Lord. Funny thing about us submitting our bodies as sacrifices, this sacrifice tends to walk away from the altar. We don't want to go through pain. We don't want to go through suffering, even though it's a holy suffering and a holy submission. Our flesh says, no, I don't want to do it. You know, we talk about fasting and some people go into catatonic actions. But now there's even a bigger challenge. People are told to put their phones down for a day and they will pass out. That's the way life goes, huh? We are called to crucify our natural inclinations, our cravings, our desires that are against God, so that we can receive what God has prepared and given us freely. And so herein lies the constant internal battle in our minds as part of our souls. You know, the soul has the mind, the emotions, and the will. And this is why the Lord has instructed us to renew our thinking according to His Word, because His Word is spirit and it is life. And as we spoke some time ago, we need to notice that the attack, whether it's internal attack in our minds or external, is always against the Word of God in us. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy the Word that is in us. And so we found out that the Christian life is not passive by any means. We're called soldiers for a reason. So after the Apostle Paul, in the book of Ephesians, he describes our God-given armor in chapter 6 of Ephesians. Then he tells us really to engage in battle. There's no point putting on an armor if we're not going to fight. And so in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, he declares to us, praying always. He describes the armor, and then after we know the armor and put it on, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, there are a few different kinds of prayer mentioned in the Bible. I wrote down a few that I could quickly remember out of memory. There's what we call a prayer of consecration. You know, we make Jesus our Lord and Savior, and we ask him mostly because we don't want to go to hell. But there is a point in our Christian walk that we realize that we belong to Christ. And there's a point that we want to say, Jesus, you're not only my Savior, you are my Lord. I belong to you. You say what I do, and I will do my best to obey. See, that's a consecration. It's not just, Jesus, save me from hell. Now I want to do your will, not just escape the destruction. I want to go forward in your kingdom. So that's a prayer of consecration. There's also a prayer of agreement. If two of us shall agree as touching anything, the Father will do it. So there's that type of prayer. There's a prayer called the prayer of authority, or a declaration prayer. And I'll expound on that in a little bit. There's a prayer of faith. We declare some things. We talk to the mountain. We talk to circumstances. Believing what the Word of God has given us as a right and authority. There's also a prayer of forgiveness and release. And boy, do we need to exercise that. We tend to be very unforgiving to those that injure us in many ways. We need to forgive and we need to release. Then we have the prayer petition and supplication. We like that one. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy and I'll take all you give me. We ask the Lord, and he has told us to ask. Ask and you shall receive. Nothing wrong with that. The problem is we always tend to be extremist. And then there is a prayer of intercession. Always do it on behalf of others. Not just asking for our own consumption, but on behalf of others. But now, all those prayers have a common thing. Prayers have to be spoken using words. You know, you can think of a prayer, but you have really not prayed until you verbalize it. I hear people sometimes asking, you know, coming to the front, I have an unspoken request. Just think of that for a minute. Unspoken request. Well, if it's not spoken, it's not a request. I understand that sometimes you don't want to reveal some details, but you have to give me something for us to agree on. I mean, what am I going to pray if it's unspoken? I don't know how to do that. And God doesn't always reveal to me what you're thinking. In fact, he hardly ever does. So, let's talk about this principle of authority or declarations. When God created the heavens and the earth, God did not think it into existence. Now, he could, but he didn't. He spoke it. God spoke the world into existence. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith, Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The phrase, then God said, is used 11 times in the first two chapters of creation in Genesis 1 and 2. God spoke. God said. We are made in the image of God. We as human beings have authority on earth, and that authority can only be activated with words. Satan, on the other hand, does not have the authority of words like we do. However, he tricks and manipulates men and women in saying words that give him legal right on the earth. That's how he gets authority. He steals it from us. We catch ourselves so many times, oh, I feel like I'm catching a cold. You just gave Satan the right to inflict you with a cold. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he was using strong language. He says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So we see, this is why we have to always watch, and I mean not just look, but control what comes out of our mouths. You know, my wife and I have lived on earth for some period of time now. It's getting longer by the year, which is great. I mean, I could have been gone when I was 32. I wasn't given much time, and I live in at least twice that. And, you know, we get around people, we talk for 5-10 minutes, and we can pretty much tell where that person is spiritually by the words that come out of their mouth. What's coming out of your mouth? We need to watch what words we say, because unknowingly you may be giving the enemy a right to harass you, to steal from you, to bring destruction upon those that you love. This is a huge concept about the authority that our words carry. It is not something trivial. It is something that we need to pay much attention. We have authority to do good or to do a lot of evil. We have authority to open the doors for blessing, and we also have authority to open doors of curses. There are three major curse categories in the word: poverty of all kinds, sickness of all kinds, and spiritual death. Those three categories are encompass all of the stuff that the enemy is all about. Last Sunday, we devoted the whole service to praise the Lord and to establish kingdom authority in the LaBelle area. How did we do that? With words. We sided with God's words and made statements of agreement with His will, with God's will for LaBelle. And we sided with God's words and made statements of opposition against the kingdom of darkness in LaBelle. Some of you men, a lot of you men that have a family, and some of you single mothers, you have God-given authority in your home. Nobody can just come and tell you what to do with your children. I mean, you have that right. And even the law has to have proper procedures to come in and barge into your home. You have authority there, God-given authority. It doesn't matter whether you are saved or not. That's a God-given right. But if you're not saved, then Satan will not let you benefit from the authority that you have. Because you don't have access to God's wisdom, the enemy is always robbing that authority and bringing disaster in your life. In the natural, looking at a baby's words usually do not carry any authority. Of course, there are some moms that think that they are in charge, and so they cater to them no matter what. You may give that authority, but really, it's not there yet. You just choose to give it to them. As those babies grow up, they grow in their authority, the authority of the word. As they understand and they learn what their authority is as a man or a woman on this earth, they exercise that with words. The same happens in the spiritual realm of the born-again believer. As you grow in the knowledge of the principles of the kingdom, you know, Jesus called them keys of the kingdom. There are more than one. And as you practice declaring those keys, those words of the kingdom, your spiritual authority grows. Some people choose to say babies, feed me, feed me. We want to grow up. In preparation for last Sunday, as we did this warfare service, it took my wife and I some time to put together the declarations that we used last Sunday. We wanted to be intentional. And as we prepare to speak, we need to think what we're about to say, because words are important. We need to be wise and intentional in the choice of words that we declare. In John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Wow. If you look at that closely, that's a big deal. Ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Of course, we immediately go to the flesh and say, I want this and I want that. But the caveat is, if you abide in the Lord, and His word abides in you. See, if you do those two things, there will not be any fleshly stuff that you would want. I want to end with this scripture in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20, I think it was. Maybe I made a mistake. It says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Wow. It says that my stomach would be filled with what I speak. It's basically what that verse is saying. So what I speak will make a difference on what satisfies my stomach. And then verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Notice it says its fruit, because he's talking about death and life. And some of us are eating the fruit of death because of our death words. Knowingly and unknowingly. See, even a judge with so much authority can make a judgment. And if he doesn't think about it, that judgment stands. He may have made a mistake, an oops, and it still is done. It is said, it is done, established. Spiritual warfare has everything to do with your words. Whether it's an internal battle in our minds, fighting. You know, the mind can be going 100 miles an hour, and we're struggling here and there. But it is then that you decide to speak words of life out of your mouth, and they will decide the outcome of your battle in the soul. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he spoke. He spoke scripture three different times, and the enemy could not stand it, and he just left him for a while to a more opportune time. We are children of God. We are being conformed to the image of Christ. What you say has authority, whether that authority is for your good or for your evil. And so, maybe that's why the scripture says, be quick to listen and be slow to speak. Have you noticed that you have given two ears and only one tongue? Thank God. We need to listen more than we blabber. There's a scripture that says, in the multitude of words, sin lies at the door. If you are a big talker, you need to reevaluate what you're saying. You know, some people just talk. They're not saying much, but they're talking. Whether you're battling in your mind, or whether you are battling an external environment issue where you live in, Victory will be determined by the choice of words that you declare. That is in your own business, in the business of your family, at work, in the city that you are. Warfare is a real thing because we are at war. And if we belong to the Lord has equipped us with the proper warfare weapons to win. He wants us to win. He's already won the victory. He wants us to enforce that victory. The enemy will not relent. He doesn't take naps. He doesn't take breaks. He's there constantly. And so, I pray that this warfare study series that we went through for the last 4 weeks, three lessons and one lab work, I know that we did some establishment in the atmosphere, in spiritual atmosphere over LaBelle. And just because we declare some things doesn't mean that we're done. We continue the fight. We continue establishing God's kingdom. That's why Jesus said for us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We are the ones that have authority on earth. We're men from earth, and we will always be on earth. You know, I know we're going to be in heaven for a little bit, have a good meal, but then we're coming back. And we're going to be here forever. Heaven will come to earth because we are being made to live on earth. You wanted to say something?
Yeah, and on what that note, I just want to remind every Friday from 6 to 8, we have prayer here in the morning. I know I'm not a morning person. Believe me, I just roll up the bed. But I thank God Aaron is so faithful to be here and intercede. And so it's one day a week. We would love to have it every morning. Amen? To intercede. So again, sometime I know Friday gets here and you forget and whatever. But it's so important. We pray for family. We pray for the city. We declare. We, you know, we're two or more gathered in his name. So I just want to remind everyone we're still meeting here. And it was funny because Juanita, I think, called Aaron because it was the day after Thanksgiving, right? And is it going to be prayer? And she goes, of course, you know. So I thank the Lord for the intercessors, the watchmen, and the prophet in the body of Christ. You see, it takes three, right? The watchman watches, right? But we don't spend time with the Lord, right? So we need to continue to watch and hold this that we started last Sunday. Amen? So again, write it down. You know, it's one day. Even if you just come for a little bit, from 6 to 7, you can come and agree with us. Amen? And then leave. People just come and go because they got to go work. That's okay. So make it a point. We would love to have you, and it's so encouraging.
Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, you have given us all things, all the things that are that pertain to life and godliness, as Peter said. Father, you have given us authority as born-again believers. You have given us armor to protect us, and you have given us weapons of warfare. Because when we got born again, you called us for war. Father, may we not forget that we are always in a struggle of some sort. Enemy doesn't rest, but we have the authority. Father, help us. Put a guard over our mouth that words that come out are wholesome, are in agreement with your kingdom and its principles. And Father, that they would produce good fruit that many can receive and enjoy. Father, keep us alert. Keep us watchful. And Lord, continue to instruct us in how the different battle strategies are. Holy Spirit, guide us and lead us that we may have victory every fight that we fight, and that we may be able to establish the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, in our environments where we live. Lord, the world will go worse, as you say in your word, but our area of influence does not have to deteriorate. Lord, help us to be the salt and light you've called us to be. I bless your people, and I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. You're